Backseat Box Office, episode number 50 for the weekend of September 2nd through the 4th, 2011. Hey, this is Tony.
This is Andrew.
This is Jonathan.
And we are the Backseat Producers, and you are listening to Backseat Box on us! Number Woo! 50!
That's right.
I am not capable of that kind of energy.
The big 5-0.
Yeah. Yeah. I loved Adam's response when we were talking about recording, and he's like, holy shit, is that actually a year old now?
Are you guys still doing that?
Yeah. Well, it's not technically a year old yet, but it's coming up soon. In fact,
pretty damn close.
I have to re-register the domain name within the next 9 days, so that has to happen. Actually, I've got it set up to auto.
That depends, because
so.
I'm having that experience with GoDaddy right now. You've got at least 80 days to pull it off.
Well, that's true. Did you not re-register?
No. I've the way of the game.net is registered. However, the way of the game.com is technically expired, but it was great because the way of the game.com has been expired and like July 13th. And then on like August 10th, I got an email from some Russian company that was like offering to sell it to me for like $100. I'm like, in 3 days I can get it for 10.
Yeah.
Why in the hell would I give you $100 to get it when you don't even actually own it?
Right.
It's called research.
Yeah. Yeah. Talk
bastards.
What was crazy was, so a number of years ago, we did a writing project, and it was an anthology, and it was called Toasted Ravioli. So I actually looked for the Toasted Ravioli domain name and found that somebody had already taken it, which is not a big surprise. And then I did the research using like Better Who Is to figure out, you know, information about the owner, because I was going to contact him to see, because it was obvious that no one was actually using the domain. Turns out that the address of the person of register was literally across the street and about five houses down from me. I kid you not. My jaw just bounced off the table when I saw that.
Did you go knock on their door?
I almost did, but it turned out that it was actually the person who lived there prior to the person. I realized it was the person who lived there prior to the person who lived there now, so the contact information was not valid and current.
Gotcha.
So that was a bit of a bummer.
Speaking of bummers, did you hear that Jonathan got another 25?
Yes, I heard that.
That was a bummer this week.
That guy is a dick.
Yeah, like
out of it too.
How would he have known that The Help was going to come in first with $14.5 million? That Columbiana was going to debut at number two with $10.4 million, and then he also figured that Rise of the Planet of the Apes was going to drop to number three with $8.8 million. They picked Don't Be Afraid of the Dark at number four with $8.5 million. And then Our Idiot Brother opened at number five, which honestly surprised me, with $7 million.
You know what? You know what? There was only one of those that surprised me, and it was the same one that just surprised you. Because my picks, the top four, were right.
Well, and I was on track to, I believe, I'd get a 22 based on the estimates from Sunday.
Oh, the estimates were scary.
Yeah, they were.
When they came back, though, flip-flopped.
$39,000 difference on
35,
Sunday. Was
I
it 35?
Think.
It was. Yeah. It was ridiculously close.
It was. Yep. So those two flipped, and that knocked me down to a 20. So, let's see. I told how Jonathan did myself. Tony?
I got a 24. I had the top four right. I picked Spy Kids to be number five. It was actually number six. So I was only 1 point off there. It was close. What's funny is that Jonathan actually called it. Last week he said, yeah, isn't it going to be funny when it's going to be, we're going to have the scores of 24 and 25? Jerk off.
Sure enough.
And isn't it funny?
Isn't it funny? No, it's really
I notice a complete lack of laughter on our part.
That's because you two are humorless bastards.
No, I don't know who my parents are.
You know what? You may not notice the laughter, but I can see the waveform. And I got Jonathan's laughter right here. There it goes.
Oh, I know Jonathan's laughing.
That's all we need.
Yeah.
That's all you need.
The talent laughs.
Yeah, I think someone on Twitter did refer to you as the talent again this week.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a little part of me dies every time I read someone else say that. Besides you, of course.
Proved myself to be the talent, I believe, is what they...
You're rocking your ninth place standing? Yeah.
There are three hosts, and one of them is in the top 10.
No, that's not true. There are two of them in the top
10. There are two now.
I've actually looked at the top 10.
That is not true currently. Not to say that that's going to stay that way, but for the moment, that is not true.
For a long time, then, there's only been one.
That's more accurate.
That is accurate.
So, yep, Jonathan held on at number 9. Tony jumped up from 11 to 10. I moved up back into the 13th spot, and I got to tell you, Sergio, he got this place filthy. I mean, I had this place spotless. It was immaculate. Now there's wrappers on the floor. It smells like... Anyway, I'm just saying. You should take... I'm speechless. I'm out. Say something.
Sergio also mentioned that anyone who misspelled Colombiana should lose 15 points automatically for that.
Did anyone misspell it?
I didn't notice it, but I wasn't honestly paying that close of attention to the spellings. If their picks were COL, that was good enough for me. Okay, moving on. I got things to do.
I'm proud of the fact that this is audio, and thus I don't actually have to spell it in order to make my
list. It's true.
I'm with you there.
That is true.
I'm pretty sure I spelled it correctly, though.
Well, and I live in a town that's spelled Columbia with a C-O-L-U, and it's Colombiana, which is C-O-L-O, so it's a little tricky for me.
Yeah, and that was, and I think that was what Sergio was referencing, is that some people didn't know the difference between a country and, I can't remember his exact wording, but he had some derogatory term for a city. So.
Thanks, Sergio.
All right. Anything else going on? Sausage Fest. Month away.
Episode 50.
This is episode 50. This is the end of season 1. Well,
can we...
I don't know. This is the end of the season. I don't know what season this technically is anymore.
It's the first... I would say this is the first official season. I mean, it's the first time...
The first official
1.5.
ending. Yeah.
1.5.
Because we didn't start until the first of the year, and we had a good 3 months, almost.
Yeah, we had a pretty long run.
We had about 3 months before we actually started.
Percentages, and then we started this. So that could count as... It's not really another season, because we didn't necessarily call it that, and especially with the format we have now with the two distinct seasons. So,
and the leaderboard, and the written out rules... All of that stuff. So, and just to clear up any confusion, starting not this time, because things have been kind of lax. This is the last set of picks. We're going to leave them the way they are. But starting next time, we're going to get a little more tight on the rules, especially involving when you can finalize your picks. Because there were some people that were floating just over the deadline, and I would let them go, mostly depending on their picks, because quite honestly, there were times where you could tell they did not take a look at the estimates that had already been released by the time they made their picks. But we're going to be I'm going to be a lot more strict about the timing, so I'm going to be a dick.
Yep,
that's going to happen.
Hey, you know what else happened?
What?
Well, actually, I'm not sure if this happened. Can we refer to Duncan Jones as friend of the podcast now?
He is a friend of the Backseat Producers, I think, is is safe to say. That was incredible.
You know, ironically, at the same time you were having that conversation, which we haven't actually talked about, but I'm going to reference it anyway, I was recommending that someone watch Moon, so...
Oh, wow. Nice. Very nice. Yeah, so the other day, I noticed at the Redbox that Source Code was there. And I had been wanting to see Source Code since we were talking about it on this podcast. Mm-hmm. And because I had seen Moon, I had enjoyed it. We had reviewed it on BSP. We actually recorded the episode like February of last year, but because of the delays, it actually got released about a year ago, and enjoyed it. I enjoyed seeing Source Code, and I had mentioned on Twitter, after seeing Source Code and reviewing Moon and being a diligent social media networker, I included the link to the episode where we reviewed it. I really want to see at Man-Made Moon, which is Duncan Jones, the director of Source Code and Moon, and he also wrote Moon. I included his at Twitter name. I want to see him making more movies. Because I do. I have enjoyed both of those films. And I did, you know, I've done things like that before to celebrities and made mentions of them and things. Just, you never know if they ever see him. I'm sure some of them never even look at their feeds. Well, about 15, 20 minutes later, my phone starts buzzing because I'm doing something else. I'm not looking at Twitter. I'm doing something else. My phone buzzes and I look.
Whoa. You weren't looking at Twitter?
I know. Go figure.
That's not allowed.
I know. Well, I was watching TV. I think I was actually watching the penultimate episode of Rescue Me. So
okay, that's allowed then.
The fifth last episode, really?
No.
No. I can't let that one go.
Not the penta-ultimate. Penta-ultimate.
Well, so the bi-ultimate?
Sure. We'll let you go there. Whatever.
Are you saying the second to last episode swings both ways? I'm confused.
Have you seen that episode?
That we're doing that right now, isn't it?
If you've seen the episode, it kind of does. So my phone buzzes and I look at it and I see there's a mention on Twitter. Well, I had, you know, we had just gotten done recording with T and Pip and I spoke about that. So I thought it was just someone referencing that. So I looked back at Twitter and there's a response from Duncan Jones saying that he's cracking up listening to the episode. And I think my heart stopped for about 2 seconds because that was something that was completely unexpected. Of all the permutations of things that I expected to happen based on my tweet, that was not one of them.
And yeah, that was pretty awesome.
And you know, he could have just said that, listened to about 30 seconds of it. But no. Then he starts correcting us.
Which is more awesome.
That made my night. That was spectacular. He took the time to listen. He took the time to mention. And that just... I just thought that was very cool all the way around.
Well, no. The best part, though, is when he gets to the part where Daryl incorrectly says his name.
Yeah,
that is the best part.
When I realize that he's actually listening to the episode and correcting us, I'm thinking, I remember being a little bit critical, but I don't remember about what. Because it's been a year and a half. And to be fair, I sometimes am surprised by things I said when I edit the episode, like 14 hours after we record. So I just didn't remember what I had said. So I booted up the episode and kind of fast forward. I kind of took a look at when I tweeted and when he's tweeting and jumped ahead about a half an hour into the episode and start listening. And I hear Daryl say, and Duncan Marshall, the director of the movie, and I was like, No. So I figured I'd jump the gun and make the correction hopefully before he got to that point. And I said something about Daryl, mistakenly crediting it to Duncan Marshall. And that was great. But Duncan Jones' response was like 10 times better. Which
it was pretty fantastic.
You know, I'm going to pull it up just because I don't want to misquote it, but it's worth getting right.
I agree. I don't have it up either. I'll see. I'm sure you'll beat me.
And since I'm editing, I don't mind making this edit. He says, "Yeah, I'm not sure either, but fuck that guy for stealing credit from my movie."
That's just classy right there.
That is classy. Now, to be fair, he did do the F asterisk asterisk K. So he was being kind of classy, and he did do a winking smiley face emoticon at the end.
But to let you know, it's all okay.
I'm serious.
That's classy. That is a classy way to handle a situation like that.
Yeah. Oh.
Rather than like, oh, you fuckers, you didn't get my name right. Like, to play it off as a joke. That's fantastic. That, like, the dude makes good movies, and turns out it sounds like he's a pretty damn good guy too.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
so
pretty freaking awesome.
I am honestly going to reach out to him and see if he won't come on some backseat production. there are choices at this point.
Well, and I know that he's I think I read an article today that he's looking at producing his third sci-fi movie, and then he's going to take a break from science fiction for a while. So
we need to get him. We need to get him while he's hot.
Well, I'm excited because the concept, it's all very, broad at this point, but that he wants to do a movie with a large budget, like the Source Code, but from something that he had more creative control over, like Moon. So that, I think that'd be pretty badass.
There's talk of, well, at least there was talk, I don't know if there still is, of doing a movie called Mute, set in the same world of Moon. And it's basically something that happens after Sam Bell comes back to Earth.
That'd be good.
And Sam Rockwell is supposed to make either a cameo or an appearance of some type in that film when they get around to doing it. So that's exciting because Moon is a great movie.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I saw on Deep Discount DVD today that they were doing a BOGO, and I was like, I got distracted. I saw it while I was at work and got distracted and closed the site. But I saw that they had both Source Code and Moon in about the $20 range. So you could get both movies for like $23 or something like that. And I was going to do it, but it was just one of the things. I got distracted and forgot about it until just now. So I'm kind of hoping that sale is still going on and those movies are not sold out by the time we're done recording. Because I will go get them.
Well, do we have any thoughts for our last set of picks for this season? Whatever godforsaken number we're going to give it.
I never expected the involvement from the community that this podcast has gotten. I thought we might have a couple of guys who would, send us email or make comments, either busting our balls for the picks that we made or, spitballing their own picks just to kind of see if they could do better. But to have between 15 and 20 people consistently every week for the last 36 weeks, joining in and participating. And, it wasn't that the whole time. It started off slow, but we built up pretty quickly to about 20 to 25. That has astounded me. And I think this show alone in not even a year has gotten like 10 to 20 times the feedback of all of Backseat Producers over its 5-year run.
I wish I could have a quarter of the feedback that
yeah.
Well, I mean, it's the type of situation where the show format really drives the crowd and you know, community participation, which is unlike, you know, other shows that we all are on.
You're right, and the cool thing is, I think this format and this show has actually made people feel more comfortable to approach me about feedback on Backseat Producers as well, because they're not commenting like as much in the show notes, but there is some. But I've gotten a couple of emails, which is more than I've had since like the first year of doing the show. And I've gotten a couple of emails, I've gotten some more comments on Twitter, things like that, that I think it's cool that people are just feeling more open to communicating. In the early days of podcasting, it was not uncommon for most podcasts to have a segment at the end of every episode of feedback, email, voicemail, things like that. And in the if you look at like the early days of Fanboy Smackdown, there was a couple of times where we actually did like episode 7.5, which was all feedback, episode 10.5, which was all feedback based on stuff we had done earlier. And we just have not had any need to do anything like that because there just isn't as much feedback. Come to find out, there are people listening and mentioning it on Twitter. Hey, great, you guys are doing a great job. And it always surprises me who some of those people are, because I respect their stuff and the different things that they do. So, and I'll go ahead and give one of them a shout out. There's a guy who goes by Odin One Eye on Twitter, and he does a patio book review blog, and he has actually turned that into a podcast called View, The View from Valhalla, and it's fantastic. He reviews patio books. So when I run out of podcasts to listen to, I go troll his blog to get ideas for what to listen to next, because the guy does great reviews. Come to find out, he's like, oh, yeah, I always forget that you're the Tony on Backseat Producers. You guys do great work. You know, and that's just cool to me, that there are people that I respect for what they do listening to the stuff that I do and enjoying it. It's a mutual admiration society. Double Dutch rudder.
You know, I don't want to take a lot of credit for this as the drag shoot, but I'm just saying, I don't think we would have ever made it to 50.
No.
For me holding us back.
Nope. I would have probably made it maybe through like November, maybe into December, but when the holidays came up, I probably would have let this one slip and maybe would have came back to do a few episodes here and there. But it was like the fourth episode or so when you guys joined.
Yeah, third or fourth.
And I was kind of struggling with the format and everything. And then you guys came on and the format just kind of evolved and developed. And it was like, man, this is how it is. it just organically kind of came together, and we realized that the scoring was imperfect and terrible with the percentages. And I'm not convinced that we're necessarily doing scoring the best way we can, but
it's an evolving process.
It is, and it may evolve some with the next season. I'm still kind of toying with some of that.
You got 7 days. No, you've got 5 days.
You've got 5 days, yeah. You've got 5 days and a lot of populace to play. So I don't know. I don't know if that's going to happen. We may just continue on with this rule structure. But
it's not perfect, but it's established.
It is established. It's established, and there's really not too much unfairness with it.
It's kind of fun too. I mean, you know, did my first place pick really just come in 10th? I mean, really? There's that
Did we just get Dylan dogged?
Oh, yeah. Take me home tonight, Dylan dog, Glee 3D live concert. I'm just saying they all suck, but go on.
Yeah, that happened.
Relativity Media, I mean, I would probably still not even know what Relativity Media was if it weren't for this show. I'd still be happy.
You would have happily just gone to see Take Me Home Tonight. And would have been right. Fine with that.
Yeah, and you know, like when they did the little Relativity logo at the what was that? The girls hangover.
Bridesmaids.
You know, yeah, when that came up on Bridesmaids, I wouldn't have cursed out loud in the theater full of people.
I probably would not have busted out laughing out loud in a room full of people in the theater. Yeah, it's. I really dig this show and doing it, and it's fun doing it with you guys. And I dig doing the results show too, because we get such great voicemail from the guys who send in voicemail. The emails are always fun to read. The comments are great. The folks that comment on the website. When they do some of their analysis, it's like, wow, you guys put like 10 times more thought than I did into this. I just kind of guessed.
And I mean, there's nothing really better than the Father Beast and Mentally results show. That's,
yeah.
It hasn't been around for a while, but that's gold.
I'm missing that. And I hope when they come back that Mrs. Beast joins them, because she's participating now in the picks from week to week.
And I believe there's a brother.
There is, yeah, John. Yep. Though he only participated once.
Oh.
He got a 14, so I don't know that he's going to be coming back. he got Julied.
Yeah, he's pulling a Julie.
He got Julied? Didn't she get like a 14?
Something like that. Yeah, she, 12, I think. Yeah, she participated once, was not thrilled with the results, and chose not to participate again.
And I even lobbied. I lobbied to try to get her back in the ring at brunch one day. And even then, she did not.
No.
You think a nice conversation over mimosas and some waffles, but no.
You'd think. That did not happen.
Mm-mm.
So what are your thoughts, Jonathan? Because you've been kind of quiet about this discussion. How has your life changed since Backseat Box Office?
Well,
you still don't know math.
I still don't know math,
and yet he's winning out of the three hosts.
Yeah, go figure.
I'm calling him. I'm just gonna go down and say he's a flopper.
I don't even know what I mean.
All the soccer fans out there know exactly what I'm talking about.
So that's like two people?
In this country, maybe. No. No, a flopper is someone who, like, when they barely get touched, they'll fall to the ground and grab their leg or body part and roll around like they just were horribly fouled and looking for the whistle.
I fail to understand how that applies to me.
You love to complain. You're like, oh, I don't understand the math. I don't know how this works. What's my score? And yet, here you are winning. I'm just saying.
That's fact, though.
Flopper.
Every single time I've tried to like figure out my points, I've been wrong. Every single time. You would think somewhere along the line I could figure out how to subtract.
Look, Jonathan, I have two choices here. I can either believe that you know nothing about movies and yet are still whooping both of us, or I can believe you're a flopper, and I choose to believe you are a flopper, sir.
I don't see how those apply. Like shark, maybe. But should we get into a 20-minute argument about what words you're using and how you're using them incorrectly? Or
no, let's save that for
We haven't had one of those in a while.
Let's save that for Shark Night 3D.
Yeah, let's have another masturbatory conversation about a kids movie.
Smurfs.
Winnie the Pooh.
I won the Winnie the Pooh one. I mean, the box office proved me right.
You didn't win that conversation. It just turns out there's no justice in the world.
Hey, whatever lets you sleep at night, bud. Whatever lets you sleep at night.
Look, I'm studying this shit. I know there is none.
So what else has changed with 50 episodes for you?
I still don't, like, changed? I don't know. Because mostly it's, I still don't get enough sleep on our recording nights that I should. I can't get you two to shut up anytime sooner.
Nope.
It's pretty much all this.
Especially, like,
why the hell am I here? Because I don't watch movies and I don't know what's going on.
What you've failed to learn from this exercise, though, is that anytime anybody complains about being tired, some other person inevitably will draw the show out an extra 20 minutes for no apparent reason.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That happens every time.
It's organic. It just happens. Let's make this quick. 3 hours later.
Let's
wrap this up.
And then once we're done wrapping it up and we're done with the show, there's like another 2 hours of conversation afterwards about God knows what.
Well, I am done talking about this movie. 5 minutes later.
You may be done. I am not done.
Yeah, it seems to be a trend just on the Backseat Producers podcast feed in general.
That's... Yeah, so we're going to wrap this episode up. We're done talking about this movie. Magically 20 minutes appear.
I don't want to talk about this reality TV show anymore.
20 minutes later, yep.
So now can we move on to the next topic?
Yeah.
You know, it's like breaking up. It never sticks the first time. You got to really... It takes a couple of runs at it before you really just kind of break it off.
I guess what has changed is that I am now on two podcasts that have made it to 50 episodes.
That's yep.
This is my third.
Yeah, nobody cares about you because I'm the talent.
You know, in a way it's my second, but really I guess maybe it's my first.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, no, it's hard to do the math. I think I was on, well, I'm not sure, but anyway. The way it's changed my stuff, my life, my feelings, my emotions, I actually see more movies now. Unlike Jonathan, I've actually started going out, catching more things, especially catching them opening weekend, like opening night, mm-hmm. like over the summer, because comics and movies were where my two podcasts meet. I made the resolution at the beginning of the summer that I'd go see all four superhero movies opening night so I could talk about them on my Saturday morning podcast and on this one. And because I used to prefer to go see them, you know, like 3 weeks afterwards in the middle of the day when the, you know, the theater was just empty. But I definitely get there more, pay a lot more money for movies now since I'm seeing them in prime time. I hate relativity now. what else?
Yeah.
I do stay up way too late every Wednesday night, and then every other Thursday night I'm up a bit late as well. But it's worth it. It's a lot of fun, and it's given me a lot of joy over the past year.
Fantastic.
I kind of look at watching the movies that are coming out so that I can talk about them on the podcast. I kind of look at that as like reading homework, which I don't do that either.
See,
I just bullshit my way through class.
I am doing. You know what? That is an amazing analogy because that is exactly how I did school, and that is exactly how I do this podcast. Yeah, I know the test is next week. It's fine. I've got a week. Yeah. Oh shit!
Like
I'm in class. The test is at the end of class. The teacher is talking.
Flip through the book.
Yeah, the teacher's talking. Maybe I have enough time in the next 20 minutes to learn just enough about the subject matter so I won't completely fail.
Exactly. It's one of those things where it's like, all right, look, if I read the material / watch the movie, then I can participate in class discussion more effectively. But as it stands already, I'm usually the one talking the most anyway, even when I haven't read the book, just because I can make connections based on what the teacher is saying or you guys are saying. So, done.
Wasn't the day we talked, Tony and I talked about Thor for like a half hour and you sat there quietly?
Well, yeah, that happens sometimes too, but, you know.
I can't remember what you said afterwards, but I remember I found it amusing.
my the participation grade is, you know, it's an aggregate. I figured that out too in going back to school. You don't have to participate every day. Just, you know, don't force the teacher to call on you, and you're good.
That's right.
The thing that I learned is be honest. Mr. Mass, what's the answer to this question? Dr. Schmidt, I don't have a clue. I did not look at that part of the book. I do not have an answer for you today, sir.
I'm sorry, I didn't make it to that section.
But
it doesn't matter if you didn't read any of the sections. If you just say that section, they assume that maybe you just didn't get that far.
But if you ask me tomorrow, I can assure you I will know the answer to this question. And the test isn't until next week, so that'll be fine. I actually did that in a calculus class because our instructor had this habit of, like, pontificating up in front of the class and then just whipping around, pointing at someone and asking a question from the reading material. And it was wild because he would do that and inevitably somebody would try to bullshit their way through the answer. Now, you know what? If you're talking about history or English or even a soft science like economics, you can do that with some effectiveness.
This is calculus.
When you're talking calc, no, that is not going to fly. It will not happen. So he would like make fun of them, like for like 5 minutes, and then while everybody's guard is down because you're kind of chuckling at that guy getting over there getting made fun of, he'd point at somebody else and ask him the same question.
Hey, Tony, we've talked about it before. That's just, you know, they got to learn somehow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
the first time that happened, I'd be like, he just asked a question with that guy. What's the answer?
No. I know.
Yeah, I'd be checking my book while he was making fun of the first guy. I'd be like, look in my book.
So he did that to me one day, and I said, his name was Dr. Schneider. Dr. Schneider, I'm sorry. I do not know the answer to that question. And, like, the people all around me, like, in that 3x3 grid around me, like vapor locked. It was, and they all kind of leaned away from me, like there was a nuke going on, and maybe if they leaned far enough away, they wouldn't get caught in the blast.
Suddenly, you couldn't breathe because everybody else inhaled at the same time.
They sucked all the oxygen from around me, and he looked at me and kind of cocked his head and said, "Okay," and then he pointed at somebody else. But his deal was he would literally ask the exact same person the exact same question the next day. And if you didn't know, he would just be like, why are you even here? You might as well just go. And I like what literally would tell them, you can leave now if you want. Because obviously you have no consideration for this class. He asked me the next day, I had the answer. Not a problem.
So, all right.
My point is, yeah, I'm still right now trying to figure out what my picks are for this week.
Well, one other quick thing that this podcast has brought into my life. For about a year, I wrote a column every Monday that never ever was ever commented on. Ever. Not once in a year. Now, every Monday, I drop that thing. People are coming left, right, in the middle. Oh, it is. Feels good when I get that little ding on my voicemail or my email saying
validation.
Comment. That's right. Someone is looking at what I wrote, and then, you know, I don't care if the comment's about their picks. I don't care. It's on my post. That's fine.
Yeah, and we really have to. I think we have to really thank. There's one person that does not get mentioned much anymore, and I think he does still deserve some credit for some of the stuff that he did for the Backseat Producers website for the time that he worked with us, and that's Edward. And he did a fabulous job of dropping news. He would put out those box office results every week. He had news bites that he'd drop. He'd drop major articles every so often. And he really created an information flow. We had the podcast. We had Darren's reviews. And those were great. But it was one more piece of the puzzle. And then when Edward had to go, I struggled to find people to help out, you know, because I didn't want to do it. I'm trying to do the podcast.
You're trying to catch up on your editing backlog, for God's sake.
And Andrew volunteered, hey, I'll give it a shot, and ran with it, took it over, and it even improved on what was there before.
I added pretty colors.
You did, and that... It draws the eye. It makes you actually want to look at everything instead of just kind of skimming. Ooh, blue. Ooh, or it was, ooh, green. Ooh, red.
Red, bad.
Yeah, ooh, that's not good.
Oh, that's bad.
So, yeah, I just want to shout out to Edward that he was kind of the precursor for a lot of what this show is.
It's true.
And then you picked up the ball and ran with it.
Absolutely. And do we have any idea what Edward's doing these days? Are you still in touch with him?
Yeah, he's on Twitter. WriteFast. Is it WriteFast23?
I think so.
WriteFast. I know.
Yeah, I think it's just WriteFast.
I think it might be just WriteFast. He did a story called The 23rd, I think.
Yeah. Which I'm quite disappointed that he didn't follow.
Like, I know, it was good.
Yes, it was.
It was really good. It was like a sci-fi Law and Order mashup. It was.
Oh, I want more!
I know, it was really good. and you know what? When he said, yeah, I've got some other pursuits, I want to take a step back from Backseat Producers, and I was like, oh, 23rd, yes! Fantastic! Do that.
If you want to sign,
you broke my heart. You broke my heart, Edward.
Oh, so go ahead, Tony.
I was going to say you broke my heart.
I was going to say, so if you want to sign our online petition for Edward to write the sequel to the 23rd, just click on the link in the show notes, which will not be there because it's almost Friday right now.
Late. We have 5 minutes. In 5 minutes, this episode will drop.
In theory.
Oh, it will. 5 minutes after I get done editing it.
Shit. It's not Wednesday, is it?
Nope.
Yeah.
You looking at the debt there, big guy?
No.
Oh.
No.
What are you looking at?
I'm looking at my podcast.
Yeah, you know what? I was wondering where it was. I wondered where it was last night. I wondered where it was all day today.
I have gotten so used to editing, like putting the... Because it doesn't require any sort of like audio cues for me to do the editing, like the final mix down and everything on it. I've gotten so used to doing this while you two jackholes like pontificate.
Talk.
So he's editing while he records.
I'm just saying, I am happier that Jonathan's recording while we record. I mean, editing while we record instead of playing Minecraft.
To be fair, he does seem to participate more this way.
Since we put off recording this week until Thursday,
damn it! That means we could have got Way of the Game early. What the hell?
Yeah, probably.
I would have actually had a podcast to listen to in the middle of the week.
Oops. Sorry.
So sorry.
It's weird because Alex usually like bugs me if I don't.
Well, hey, let me talk about your co-host for a minute. Jackhole he is. According to his Twitter feed, he's playing Space Marine.
He gets everything early because he works at the game store that shall not be named.
Because
he takes advantage of their bullshit policy to open up new games and send them home with people whenever they want them. He had Deus Ex early, Catherine early. He has all of them early. Right.
Portal
and none
early.
Of those bothered.
He had Portal for like a week and a half or some shit like that. That was crazy.
And none of those bothered me until now.
That's just because you were a terrible person, but all of them are bothersome.
Trying to decide how to respond to that. Hold
on. They should all bother you.
No, well, because I didn't know anything about Catherine going into it. I never played the original Portal, so I didn't have a lot of love for Portal 2.
No. It's the principle of the thing.
He does.
Alex should not get stuff before I do.
You know what? I don't even mind. I don't even mind that he gets them. Why in the hell does he have to gloat about it?
Why does he have his raptor on?
Yes. No kidding. That's just a dick move.
Hey, neither of you dickheads gets text messages from him with a picture of him holding the game in his hands.
No, but you had a pithy reply to that text.
That's fair. Yeah.
If you want to know what we're talking about, just go check out the Way of the Game homepage and scroll back to about the time Deus Ex dropped. Or actually, no, about a week before Deus Ex dropped.
2 or 3 days. It's on the second page right now. I can give you a link for the show notes if you want.
Yeah, show notes. If this was Wednesday, I'd say sure. But let's talk about movies coming out either yesterday or, well, basically today. The Debt opened on Wednesday. I don't know if you guys were aware of that.
I did not know that until I saw that there was Wednesday estimates and The Debt is on them.
In fact, The Debt is number 2 with $970,000.
Seems kind of a soft opening.
Even for Wednesday. I mean, it's no The Help with 3 million or 5 million or whatever they had, but
I don't think they expected that big of an opening anyway.
Well, you know, it's very much a drama thriller, rated R, you know, stars Helen Mirren.
I know. Oh, I know.
Sam Worthington, Ciaran Hinds, Tom Wilkinson, Jessica Chastain, amongst others.
Hey, you know who else it stars?
Who?
Helen Mirren.
Why don't you tell us about the rest of the movie, Tony?
Helen Mirren's in it. At least.
All right.
At least.
I think we're done. What else? What else can you say?
Based on the trailer that I saw. Oh, a month and a half ago. What I think it's about is Helen Mirren, well, the character that Helen Mirren plays when she was a younger woman, I believe in Nazi Germany, maybe.
Yeah, she wasn't necessarily
in Nazi Germany, but her and a couple other guys are they Nazi hunters?
No, it's sort of. Yeah, it's post World War II. Germany's been divided into East and West, and they, I believe, are working for Mossad at the time.
Okay.
And are part of a covert team sent into East Germany to abduct, you know, what they make out to be a horrible war criminal, this doctor who worked in one of the concentration camps under Hitler.
It seems like something goes wrong. And there's a big secret that they're hiding. But the little bit I saw was that was it. It was like there's a big secret, and now they're paying the price for the secret in the present day, and that's where Helen Mirren comes in, because her character is one of those three.
Yeah,
that's part of that team.
I heard a radio ad for it this morning that it made it sound like they needed to reunite and find somebody they let go. Like, they didn't catch them all, kind of thing.
Mm.
Well, and they've got to get the band back together. Yeah, the doctor they're chasing seems to be very much kind of a psychological puppet master. From you know, when he's tied up, he's taunting them, and seems to be actually getting to the young trio. And they have two casts. They have the young cast and the old cast of the same three actors. And so the first one is in, you know, East Berlin not long after the war, when they're searching them down, and then Helen Mirren is part of the older crew that are, I guess, as you said, getting the band back together.
Hey,
I want to see this movie, actually.
I do, too.
It looks good.
I really do want to see it, and not just because of Helen Mirren.
Whatever. I don't believe that at all.
That's.
I mean, I believe you want to see it, but I don't believe it's for more than just Helen Mirren.
That's probably a safe bet on your part. To be fair. Much safer a bet than to bet with you on Shark Night 3D.
Shark Night 3D, the newest film from
Relativity.
Yeah.
The bane of your backseat box office career.
Yep. You guys talk about it. I'm
now, if I remember right, the story that we pitched was that there was a group of knights who had been in the Crusades who had a witch that they had captured, and they were bringing back to the Holy Lands, or bringing back from the Holy Lands. And they were in the Mediterranean, and a storm came, and to protect the knights who, for some reason, were still in full armor on a boat, she had to cast a spell on them so that they could breathe underwater, potentially damning their mortal souls, because, you know, she's a witch, black magic, these are, you know, holy crusaders. So she casts the spell, the boat sinks, and the knights then are charged with fighting sharks in the Mediterranean to fight their way out. They fight their way back into the Crusades, killing sharks along the way, and wearing the shark bodies as armor going into the Crusades. Shark Night 3D.
And I can see Nicolas Cage starring in this in a heartbeat.
Yes.
Especially if he has to return from hell in order to...
I can see him producing.
What was that? In the spring, he was a movie like Witch.
Season of the Witch.
Season of the Witch. Which was also a Relativity Productions.
Where he was a crusader, I believe, if I'm not mistaken.
I do believe. It's a sequel.
Or is it a sequel or is it a prequel?
All right. So, apparently, somebody didn't get the memo, and that fabulous idea was scrapped.
Instead, what we have is a cast of young, good-looking co-eds who are spending the weekend at a lake house on a saltwater lake. I kid you not. They are attacked by sharks.
That happens.
That's the entire synopsis. Enjoy it.
Yeah.
Oh, did I mention it's in 3D?
Yeah, so there is a water park a short drive up the Mississippi River from where we live. And we went there this past weekend. So we went there, and because we got free tickets, so we're driving up there. And so people from this area would know there's a stretch of road called the Great River Road, and you're driving basically on an embankment that's just off a cliff wall. I mean, you got a cliff wall on one side of you, and the Mississippi River on the other, and you're driving this narrow stretch of road, and Holden looks over at the water. He goes, "There's sharks in there. I see their fins." No, that's the reflection of the sun off the water halfway in. Because it's also a pretty wide part of the Mississippi. So wide that there are boaters and tubers and people on jet skis and all that good stuff. And he's like, no. I know that there are sharks here. Well, sharks can't survive in fresh water. This is fresh water. Sometimes they can survive for short distances in fresh water. They can swim upstream into the rivers, and you can find them in rivers. I said, that's true. They can't swim this far, so you're okay. Well, what about lakes? What about lakes around here? No, they need salt water. There are saltwater lakes.
Well, this
that
movie
is also true.
Yes,
this
there
movie
are.
Supports his hypothesis, Tony.
Apparently, they're stealing ideas from him. I need to call my IP attorney, and get this taken care of stat.
Well, you need to stop blogging all these ideas on lightsabersaurus.com.
That's true. That is true. There is going to be a new series based on his interpretations of Diary of a Wimpy Kid, the books, that he's been reading, he is drawing his own cartoons based on his friends and himself and their interactions at school. I kid you not. This is going to be on Lightsaber Swords very soon.
So what I'm seeing is that episode 50 marks a change wherein we try to pimp every single thing we're involved with.
Yeah, because that never happens.
But we promise we'll only do it every 50 episodes. Wink.
I'm just saying, even I have gotten a couple of good mentions in there.
No kidding. All right.
Well, so irony, you are the pimp of the internet.
The irony is we're way behind our schedule. We should be actually like rushing to do a short episode just to get it done, and yet here we are, just having a good time.
The episode is officially 9 minutes late, so it doesn't matter anyway.
We're just figuring out more ways to make it longer. Every opportunity we've had to cut it short. Oh, so yeah, let's talk about Shark Night. So then I replay that whole conversation we had a couple months ago when we found out that Shark Night was the next relative movie coming out.
Even better is how right now you're replaying the conversation we just had.
We just had. It's fantastic.
Hey, did you guys know that Sausage Fest is fully funded?
I heard that somewhere.
So the last movie.
Someone on the mics just might be responsible for that.
Perhaps.
Maybe.
So the third movie coming out this weekend is Apollo 18. You know, to me, from watching the film, it's like they're taking Paranormal Activity, the formula, combining it with landing on the moon, and that's your movie.
Yeah, they're taking that found footage genre.
It's more like
Blair Witch
Project on the moon.
Right. I can see that.
Cloverfield.
Alien meets the Blair Witch Project on the moon.
It's written by Brian Miller, directed by 1974. Directed by Gonzalo Lopez Gallego. Anyway,
easy for you to say.
You would think, but maybe not. I don't know what to think about this movie, guys. Any thoughts?
It's opening in a lot of theaters.
It's from Weinstein and Company.
Yeah.
It's not Relativity.
It's not Relativity, so it's a winner in my book.
I'm kind of on the fence about this. Normally, I don't put a whole lot of stock in reviewers. If I want to see a movie, I'll go see it. This one, I kind of want to hear a little more what it's about. And are they... How well are they using the medium of found footage to tell the story? Because, I don't know, I'm just kind of... The concept seems cool, but it feels like something we've seen before.
Any chance we get Daryl to go see it for us?
Darren?
Oh, sorry. Wrong guy. Any chance we see Darren to go see it for us?
Maybe. To be honest, he could see any three of these movies this week. I can honestly see him seeing any of these three movies just because he tends to review movies that he wants to see because he and his friends go and that's the movie that they select. It's not like, you know, we don't have access to pre-releases or anything like that. So, yeah, I don't know. It's kind of a crapshoot as to which movie he is going to see. I'll be curious. It'll be a surprise on Saturday or Sunday when his review drops to see exactly what he is going to see.
Based upon his glowing review of Piranha 3D, I'm actually going to go out there and say he's going to go see Shark Night this weekend.
I think that's a fair bet. He also likes the intrigue pieces, so I think, you know, the dead has a shot, and he's not opposed to a horror movie, and I think Apollo 18 has some ripples of that through it.
All right, Jonathan, you have the honor.
That would be great because I'm actually falling asleep right now. I had a doctor's appointment at 7:30 in the morning. So,
hey, congratulations! I got
hey, I'm not used to it. You fuck nut.
I have to be at work at 7 every morning.
I don't care. I don't. So I'm tired. They drew blood. I'm gonna use that. I didn't get a cookie or an orange.
That sounds like your problem.
Sounds like you should pack an orange and a cookie next time you go to the office. I mean, it's not the Red Cross you're going to, man.
I don't know. I think my doctor might take the cookie away. You can't have this.
All right, so what are your picks?
All right, so... I don't...
What?
What?
Not
what?
Why is Cars 2 expanding to 2,000 screens?
Because it's awesome.
No. Seriously. It's expanding by 1,800 screens this week.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't have a reason why. I do see that on there, but I don't
know. It's Labor Day weekend.
Oh. That's not a reason.
It's probably a pretty good reason.
Bad Teacher's expanding from 75 screens to 986 screens.
Where do you see that?
Just below Cars 2.
I don't have that on mine. Are you looking at... You're like on Box Office Mojo?
Yeah.
New releases?
See that.
Yeah.
Let me refresh my screen.
I just did. I don't see that.
Hang on a second. Let me...
Yeah, I only have Cars 2.
Really?
On mine, yeah.
I don't know. Let me refresh my screen. Maybe there's something weird going on.
I can send you a screen cap, but really, I just have Cars 2.
I've got it. Hang on.
So, I'm going to the source of all information in the world to try to find out.
HSX?
The Googles.
Close, Googles.
I sent you gentlemen the link, by the way.
Oh, wow, look at this. That's fancy.
Oh, yeah, you're looking at a different spot than I was looking.
I didn't know this page existed.
Neither did I.
It's theater counts. It's on the left-hand side of the... It's under indices at the very bottom. In their sidebar. In their left sidebar. At the very bottom of indices.
This is where I usually look for this stuff, right there.
I like saying the word indices.
Just the release schedule page?
Yeah.
Yeah, normally we don't use this because they don't update it until Thursday afternoon.
But here we are.
Absolutely useless for us.
Yeah. Well, that's our fault, not theirs.
That's true. Well,
all right, anyway.
And I have a feeling that these expanding, a lot of these that are expanding, might be expanding in the secondary theaters, like the dollar show, the quote-unquote theaters.
Like the $2 movies.
Could be.
I could see that.
And we just never notice it because it doesn't come out till Thursdays.
And
exactly.
It doesn't affect anything.
Yeah,
anyway.
those films also don't tend to affect the box office at the top five level at all.
Yeah. Right. All right, well, let's get this thing back on the road. Jonathan, what are your picks?
Here's the thing about my picks. Because since we're doing it on Thursday, Box Office Mojo has updated a bunch of things, and they've put out their forecast for what the Labor Day weekend will be. The thing that I don't understand is they don't have Columbiana in their roundup at all.
Really?
Like, it's not on the top five, their predicted top five. They don't talk about it in the analysis. There's no mention of it anywhere,
now,
which
is this,
just dumbfounds me.
Is this an article by Brandon Gray?
Oh,
yes.
He's pretty good.
Yeah, so I am confused. I mean, we've established that it's not, like, theater count's not changing or anything, so I'm going to...
Oh, wait a minute. He's also doing the forecast based on the four-day weekend.
Yeah, but still, you would think that he would mention... Because the thing is he's got Rise of the Planet of the Apes at number four with not losing... Well, I mean, it's a four-day weekend, but... Not losing any money, you would think that if Columbiana was going to take such a huge drop that it was going to drop below Rise of the Planet of the Apes, he'd mention that.
That does seem surprising.
You know, I think that Columbiana is, because of a weak open, because of this, that, or the other thing, here's my reasons for thinking it's going to drop below a movie that's been out for a month.
Yeah.
That's weird to me.
That is a big, that's a big jump.
So, I don't know.
That would be worth comment. If you thought Columbia was so bad that it was just going to nosedive out of the top five, yeah, I agree with Jonathan. You think you would discuss that in his article.
Because, I mean, it did 2 million more than Rise did, almost.
Right.
So that would be a significantly larger drop. That's weird. But anyway, that has nothing to do with my list, except that turns out the one day that we're actually podcasting on a day that we could use the forecast is a day when it's so incomprehensible to me that I'm not going to pay attention to it anyway. So, I, looking at the three movies that are coming out this week, I don't know if any of them has a chance to overtake The Help again, which is also kind of mind-boggling. Maybe just by sheer numbers and, like, outer space horror Blair Witch pull, whatever the other movie is, pull. I could see Apollo 18, like, taking the top spot, but I think it would be close. So I'm going to put number one, The Help. And then my next three are basically just going to be based on theater count. Apollo 18, Shark Knight, and The Debt, 2, 3, and 4. Which, The Debt might be a bad choice because it's opening, you know, its Wednesday open wasn't very good. And it's got like half the theaters that even, you know, it's opening in less than 2,000 theaters, so it's 800 or more behind Columbiana. It's nearly half of what Rise is, so that could be a bad decision, but I'm going to put it at 4 anyway. And then I'm going to put Columbiana at number 5, just because I can't see it taking such a huge drop that Rise could beat it. I mean, that seems weird to me. So, those are my 5.
All right.
I didn't get down. What'd you have at number 1 there, Jonathan?
The Help.
Okay. Tony?
Well, I'm looking at one more thing because something is niggling at me here. And mostly it's based on, okay, that's interesting.
Bum, bum, bum. Bum, 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 bum.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Apollo 18 at number 1, The Help at number 2, Shark Knight 3D at number 3, Columbiana at number 4, and The Debt at number 5.
I could have seen very easily going with that list too, so.
Yeah, it's
The Debt and Columbiana and The Help and Apollo 18, I could see those flopping real
easily. You know what? I'm going to do something else.
You're going to change your mind?
I'm changing my mind.
I have to find an eraser. Hold on.
Yeah, number five is going to be Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
Oh.
As much as I want The Debt to do better than that, excuse me, considering...
Is this a safety bet?
It's kind of a safety bet, but it's also the fact that The Dead is in 1,800 screens, and Rise of the Planet of the Apes is in almost 3,200.
Yeah.
And
I guess it is Labor Day weekend.
And it's Labor Day weekend. It's going to be a bit of a safety bet and a little bit of a gamble that Rise still has some chops. I still want to see it. I haven't seen it yet. I might go see it.
I think what Tony's saying is that he loves hot monkey ass.
but do I love it more than Helen Mirren?
Ooh.
If Helen
No,
Mirren,
I don't think you do.
If Helen Mirren was in Rise of the Planet of the Apes, I would have seen it 3 times by now. or at least once.
All right.
What do you have, Andrew?
Well, you know, two things. First, I think this is a good point to point out to all the listeners that, as always, we base our results on the three-day weekend, even on holiday weekends. We still just look at Friday through Sunday.
Very true.
Monday is not included. As far as my picks go, I just looked at what Piranha 3D opened at. It opened at $10
million.
About a year ago. It doesn't have the exact... Actually, no. Widest release, in release. No, I guess it doesn't have the exact date open, but... $10.1 million its opening weekend. So, I'm wondering if that's going to change my plan here that I came up with while you guys were talking. Because The Help, $14 million, yeah, that's sizable. Okay. This is what I got. I'm going to put Apollo 18 at number one. I'm going to put Shark Knight 3D at number two. I'm going to put The Help at number three. After that, we get that whole Columbiana, Rise, Planet of the Apes, Debt situation. I'm going to put Debt at number four. And then I also have a lot of love for Rise of the Planet of the Apes, so I'm going to put Rise at number five as well.
I want to change my picks. I'm going to remove Shark Knight 3D from the top five.
Off of there, please.
Too late, suckers.
I need to slot Rise into number five. Yeah.
Just shift everything up and put Rise in right there. So I'll shift everything up and put the Dead at number five.
I picked a Relativity film high. It is sure to do badly. And did I do it just to screw my co-host?
Maybe.
I think that with this one, Shark Knight has a good chance of pulling around $8 to $10 million. I don't particularly see that being an issue. So I don't think you're necessarily wrong. Even though it is a Relativity Pictures thing. Personally, I think The Debt is going to be has an extreme possibility of being my take me home tonight.
I can only hope if I
suffer a last minute second place, it's probably going to be because of The Debt.
And Tony, how much of a swing do the two of you have for you to surpass Jonathan?
I would need to double check, but I believe it is 7 points.
Yeah, one 11th place finish for The Debt, and Jonathan may be screwed.
Hey, you know what? The Help and Apollo 18 coming in two different places, and then The Debt coming in at like 7th.
Yeah, I mean, there'd be a 3-point swing.
It would be really, really close.
Yeah, there would be a 3-point swing if I pick Apollo 18 and The Help right, Jonathan doesn't. I mean, that's three right there.
That is three right there.
Unless it could even be more interesting than that if he selects The Help and it ends up in third place. Because if The Help ends up in third place, I only lose 1 point. He loses four.
So well, there. I think that's a good place to leave it right there.
So
cliffhanger
there.
Tune in next week for our recap.
This is like Wednesday. The end of the NFL season where everybody's like, all right, look, there's one game left. If we win this game and they lose this game, but these guys beat them
by 7 points or more.
I guess the end of any sports season ever. If we beat them as they lose to these guys, but only if these people win, but if they win, then this dude has to win. And they.
Just goes on and on, doesn't
so
it?
So somebody figure out the exact permutations in which I come out on top.
There's a broadcaster for Cardinals baseball in St. Louis that the Cardinals can be down like 9-2 going into the ninth inning. He's like, well, all they need to do is load up the bases, get a double, then they'll get walks. Then they'll hit a grand slam. They'll get a couple of solo shots. It's like, you need to go drink more. No, clearly you are completely inebriated.
He needs to be a Rockies fan because shit like that happens all the time.
You know,
this not is always a, for my team either.
This is a quote from one of my favorite sports movies. It goes, "So if Milwaukee beats Detroit and Denver beats Atlanta in the American Southwestern Division East Northern, then Milwaukee goes to the Denslow Cup. Unless Baltimore can upset Buffalo and Charlotte ties Toronto, then Oakland would play L.A. and Pittsburgh in a blind choice round robin. And if no clear winner emerges from all of this, a two-man sack race will be held on consecutive Sundays until a champion can be crowned."
Oh.
I love that.
I double-checked, and yes, 7 points. There's a seven-point swing currently between Jonathan and I. Andrew, would you like to know how far away you are?
No. No, I do not. Never tell me the odds. Me and Han Solo, man. Never tell me the odds.
Oh, there, did you see, I think it was Late Night with Jimmy Kimmel. Harrison Ford was on.
Nope.
There was a cameo from Chewbacca.
I had heard about it. I had heard about it. I had not seen it.
I will.
I love it.
I will hunt this down for you while we wrap up the show.
And for those listening, that'll be the 20 minutes after we sign off that we're still on the mics.
All right.
Probably.
Thank everyone for listening for almost the year that we've been doing this now. I can speak for myself and say I've been having a great time doing this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how tired you are at the beginning, by the end of the podcast, you are having a great time regardless.
Regardless.
It doesn't matter if you're half asleep and in a half asleep haze when the phone goes off, you dodge towards the computer and rip out all of your cables. It doesn't matter because your eyes are sticky, your half blurred contacts, you're squinting down trying to find the right hole to put the right cord in. Eventually, by the end of the episode, it doesn't matter. You're having a good time.
It's either that or prom night. Squinting to find the right hole to put the cord in.
You know what makes a joke funnier?
When you have to explain it. Yeah.
Oh.
All right.
All right.
Done.